Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You're listening to our radio podcast number 888-888. It's like a 777 plane, but it's 888B. And we have a wonderful guest for you. Dr. Lynn O'Connor is going to talk to us about colon cancer and colorectal cancers. You know, March was Colorectal Cancer Month, and this is a segment that we wanted to get in March, didn't quite squeeze it in, but you're getting to hear it now, so hopefully this will reinforce the importance of colorectal screening, especially for the female population and especially for the African American population. For the past 20 years, Dr. Lynn O'Connor has made it her mission to provide women with the foremost treatment, technology, and information related to preventive public health issues, and especially colorectal cancer. She is an outstanding surgeon, part of Colorectal Surgical Associates in Great Neck, New York. I should say that her website is LynnOConnorMD.com, LynnOConnorMD.com. Dr. O'Connor, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, let's set the stage. This is one of those diseases, colorectal cancer, that is occurring at an earlier age. First of all, how common is colorectal cancer?
Colorectal cancer is the third most common cancer diagnosed in both men and women. And the American Cancer Society estimates that this year alone, we're going to see about 97,000 new cases of colon cancer and about 43,000 new cases of rectal cancer. And of those cases, about 50,000 people are expected to die from that disease. So it's something that we really need to pay attention to.
And
we talk about it being in younger people. The majority of colorectal cancers are still found in older people, but we are seeing a rise in both colon and rectal cancer in the younger age group.
And why is that, or why do people think that is that?
You know, we're really not sure why that is, but our 20 to 39-year-olds are seeing at least a 1 to 2.4% increase, and the 40 to 50-year-olds are seeing at least a 0.3 to 1.5% increase. And that may sound small, but when you're talking about people who are in that age group, we normally don't see that. And I really think it has to do a lot with the older folks. They got the message. Screening, they're getting their colonoscopies, and we're able to detect polyps at an earlier stage or cancers at an earlier stage and affect cure or prevent it from happening. With the younger folks, we've got the obesity epidemic. Our diets are not the same. We've got antibiotics in our food. We've got genetically modified organisms in our food. We are not exercising the way we are. And we're not getting enough fruits, vegetables, and fiber in our diet. The most important thing, though, is when these patients actually present with symptoms, the colon cancer is not the first thing that's thought of. So about 82% of these young people are misdiagnosed when they come to their doctor.
And now, in addition to routine screening, so we normally get colorectal cancer screening. At least I got it, and Dr. Oz got it, and a number of other people who've gotten it starting at age 50. Is that correct? Should it be at a different age for different populations?
Yeah, well, when you're looking at the average risk individual who's of Caucasian persuasion, and we're talking average risk with no family history, no genetic predisposition, and no symptoms, 50 years of age is the time frame that you're thinking about. But if you're looking at different populations, such as the African-American population, stage to stage, when they present, it's usually at more advanced stages. So that screening should start at age 45. If you have a family history of colon cancer, say your mother was diagnosed at 45 years of age, then screening should start 10 years prior to that at age 35. And I tell my patients, hands down, no matter what age you are, if you have any symptoms such as change in bowel habits, smaller stools, thinner stools, blood in your stools, blood when you move your bowels, abdominal pain, weight loss, loss of appetite, any of those signs and symptoms, then you should see your physician, and you would probably have a colonoscopy at that point.
So now let's go over those symptoms. Say them again slowly for us.
Well, if you have like a change in bowel habits, a lot of people don't turn around and look at their stool. If you see blood in the toilet, you see blood in the stool. If your stools are thinner, like pencil thin, and before they used to be full, round, robust types of stool, that's a change in your bowel habits. If you're not moving
now,
as frequently
long,
as
well,
you
well,
normally
let's go,
do,
well,
sometimes
wait,
you go daily,
go,
or and then you start finding you're going 3 times a week instead of daily, that's a change in your bowel habits.
How long should these persist for? In other words, if you see thinner stools, you might see that one day and not the next. Should it be that this is a pattern, you're saying, of change?
Exactly. I mean, we all have, you know, the fun foods where we go out, we go off our normal diet, or we're traveling, we become constipated, and that is something that's transient. But if you're seeing something on a sustained basis, and this is your new normal, where that wasn't your normal before, clearly you should have that looked at. And even if I've had patients come in and it's just been, doc, I saw some blood, I'm not sure, I really want to get checked out. And for the majority of time, rectal bleeding is benign. If it's bright red, you think of hemorrhoids, but not all rectal bleeding is benign and it should be examined. So if there's a question, I tell my patients, come directly in and I'll speak with them and examine them.
And so rectal bleeding, and remember, the rectal bleeding you see as both black or red, and the if you will, and and you clarify this, so it isn't just a little blood on the toilet paper, or is it when you should see someone?
You know, sometimes you can see a little bit of blood on the toilet paper. If you have a hard bowel movement and you've been suffering from constipation, occasionally you can see a little bit of blood. And usually that blood is bright red. The majority of times when you see bright red blood that's coming out of the bottom, then that's usually a hemorrhoid, a fissure, or something that's from the anal rectal area. But still, I had a patient who came in, and he actually had some hemorrhoids. He was a young man, about 36, and he came to me because of that bright red blood. But I started speaking to him. We did a history, physical, and I found out his father had colon cancer. His symptoms just didn't add up. I did a colonoscopy. He had a huge right-sided tumor. So if you have anything that's suspicious, just set an error on the side of caution. Come in, get evaluated, and if it warrants, a colonoscopy.
So colonoscopy is the gold standard of screening. Is that what is? Are there other methods of screening? People say, isn't there a genetic or genetic test I can do, or a test on my stool I can do? Some people are afraid of colonoscopy. One, should they be afraid of colonoscopy? And two, what are the other tests?
No, they really shouldn't be afraid of colonoscopy. You know, when the most people are concerned about the prep, meaning they have to move their bowels a significant amount of time, you drink in a solution to clean you out, and that is absolutely the purpose. And it's important to be able to complete the prep so the colonoscopy can, so we can see what we need to see. When you're having your colonoscopy, that's something that it's the only tool that offers therapeutic and diagnostic capabilities. So in other words, if we see a polyp, that polyp can be removed right then and there. So that's why it's really the gold standard. They have other options such as virtual colonoscopy, where air is pumped into the rectum and the colon, and you have a CAT scan, you have stool studies, you have Cologuard, which is a DNA stool kit. The problem is, some of these have false positives, And patients wind up having a colonoscopy anyway. And it's very difficult at times when you're having a virtual colonoscopy to see whether or not it's stool or is that really a polyp. So the majority of patients who usually do have alternative methods and use alternative methods, if there's an unequivocal result, they're going to wind up having a colonoscopy. And again, that's the one study where you have diagnostic capabilities to diagnose, take biopsies, remove polyps, and that therapeutic benefit.
And now you get a colonoscopy, and as you said, there is a prep beforehand which cleans you out. So for people who think of, if you will, the clean outs or the, I'm blanking on the word for it, but they're, if you will, they go through coffee enemas or something like that. Those are much worse, I think, than in fact just doing a prep for a colonoscopy. But then during the colonoscopy, you are usually given what we call a combination of medications that makes you both unaware and pain-free. You will need someone to help drive you home. But it usually takes under 45 minutes, and you don't even know you're having it. It is relatively painless. Is that, at least that's my experience with it.
Yeah, well, I do all of my colonoscopies with an anesthesiologist present. The anesthesia we usually use is quick acting. It just takes a couple minutes to go to sleep, a couple minutes to wake up. During the entire procedure, you're asleep. When I'm done, you don't even know that I've had you. Patients wake up and like, "Doc, when are we going to get started?" I'm like, "You're done." And patients, that's one of the things a lot of patients are scared about is the anesthesia. It makes the patient more relaxed. The patient is asleep. You're able to do a full, complete exam. And it takes about half an hour, if that. It can range anywhere from 10 minutes to 20 minutes. It depends whether or not a polyp is being removed. There's work that needs to be done. If it's a tortuous colon, the perforation rate in most studies is less than 0.5%, and that's where the scope goes through the colon. Patients do fine with this, and this is a screening test. It's a test that can save lives, and it can detect cancers, and if it's detected early, there's a 95% cure rate. So this message has to get out.
We're talking with Dr. Lynn O'Connor of the Great Neck Surgical Associates. She's a colorectal surgeon, and her website, Lynn O'Connor, it's double N's, L-Y-N-N O'Connor, MD.com, or at Lynn O'Connor MD is the Twitter handle. Dr. O'Connor, let me just go and say that the VA completed a large study recently, I think it was published in mid-March, that in fact showed that compared to the veterans who had not had colonoscopies, those that had a 61% less risk of dying from colorectal cancer. So what you said has recently been confirmed, that colonoscopies save lives. So the symptoms of a change in bowel habits are a large thing. After you get it at age 50, then you get it, what, every 10 years thereafter, or is it every 5 years? I keep forgetting.
The American Cancer Society recommends every 10 years afterwards. However, if a patient has a family history, it may be sooner. If a patient is found to have multiple polyps, then they may recall sooner. Patients who have had colon cancers and they've been successfully resected and removed, recommend that colonoscopy done within the first 1 to 3 years after the surgery, because that's usually the highest risk of recurrence when you're going to have it.
Now, I haven't asked you a whole bunch of questions about pooping in general. Your poop should be, I suppose, S-shaped. And you should look at your poop and know what it looks like if you're going to know what it changes. How often, the commonest question I get asked is, what is normal? I go twice a day or I go every 3 days. And I say those ranges seem within the normal range. What's the normal range of how often people poop?
I get that question a lot. And A lot of people think they're supposed to go every single day. That is the ideal, to go every single day. However, there are people who have normal, regular bowel movements, and they're going every other day. But ideally, most patients move every day. If you are very active, depending upon your diet, you may move, you know, 2 to 3 times a day. People are telling you urinate more than once a day. And if you have to expel stool, then expelling stool twice a day is perfectly fine. The thing that's important is to know your normal. And once you know your normal, then you can tell what is your abnormal. Obviously, if you're moving once a week, that's a problem. You need to go in to see your physician. But if you're going every other day, you're going twice a day, once a day, that's within the normal range.
We've been talking with Lynn O'Connor, a physician and surgeon who's a colorectal surgeon, about colon cancer and colorectal cancer screening. There's a lot more we could talk to her about, because she obviously explains things exquisitely well, and obviously has a broad range. The expertise with which she answers the questions shows she has a broad range of knowledge. Lynn, thank you very much. It's Lynn O'Connor, MD.com is the website. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast on iHeart or Radio MD or wherever you download it from. Please tell your friends about us. Keep downloading. Thanks very much for doing it. And Ben, thanks for good and great engineering. We'll be back next week with a new guest. Remember, listen to the A segments as well, where we give you the latest news of the week for medicine, and but especially what it means for you and how you can take control of your health. Thanks again.